Welcome to Mr. Wrestling Theater 420.
Your semi-favorite.
Inconsistent.
Incorrect.
Incoherent.
Inappropriate.
Unprofessional.
Sometimes weekly.
Wrestling-based podcast.
On Anchor.fm.
It's Tuesday, you know what that means. What the fuck is up? Mr. Wrestling Theater 420. It's episode 79, season 3, episode 32. We're going to call it Heck in a Prison. Happy birthday to Howard Finkel, superstar Billy Graham, Mick Foley, Sarah Lee, Taylor Hendricks, and I guess Prince. Sure, why not? Straight in the day is Golden Cobra. No big mix today. It's me, and then you'll hear a little bit from King. So what I'm going to do now is give you our predictions for Hell in a Cell, since not a lot of you listen to Prediction Friday. So I'll just put it on this episode. That way, Big Mix is technically on the episode. And then, come back. We'll do some analysis of that. What I think, what happened, my thoughts on that, whatever. Plus, I'll do In Your House from NXT, also over the weekend, that I didn't watch a lot of, but I did watch enough of to give you my opinion of that. And then we'll talk some CM Punk, some Cody Rhodes, some other shit, I guess, some Edge. Talk some of that too. All right, back after Prediction Friday.
It's Friday, you know what that means. What the fuck is up? Mystery Wrestling Theater 420. Prediction Friday for Hell in a Cell 2022. Quick happy birthday to Theo Rossi, Gorilla Monsoon, Joe Malenko, Jazzy Gabbert, and Riho, Clayton's favorite. My strain of the day is Snowball, because I'm doing this by myself. No Billy Goat. All right, so let's get into it real quick. Let me pull up the matches here. Alright, so first up, we have Cody Rhodes versus Seth freaking Rollins in a Hell in a Cell match. Clayton went with Cody. I'm going with Cody as well. I think this is going to end this feud and set Cody up to win the Money in the Bank match, which would make sense with Billy Goat's theory that he's going to cash in the day after WrestleMania. And I agree with that, so there we go. Next up, we have the triple threat for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. And we've got Bianca Belair, the champion, versus Asuka versus Becky Lynch. Clayton went with Asuka, but I think I'm going to go with Bianca Belair. Just for the simple fact that I think she's going to retain it, and we're going to get her versus Ronda Rousey to unify those titles, because I'm pretty sure Ronda's already faced Asuka, I believe, at one point before. So I would like Asuka to win, but I don't think it's going that way. I think it's going to Bianca. And next on the list, we've got Bobby Lashley versus almost an MVP in a 2-on-1 handicap match. And this sounds stupid. Clayton thinks Lashley's going to win, but I honestly think almost an MVP together are going to win. I feel like they're doing this whole feud to push almost as a legitimate threat against a guy like Bobby Lashley, who is always a threat, kind of almost in the aspect of Brock Lesnar. So, all right. And then next we have Ezekiel versus Kevin Owens. And Clayton Billy Goat went with Kevin Owens. I'm going with him as well. I mean, I don't know. I don't see Ezekiel winning, honestly, unless, I don't know, but like, I'm going Kevin Owens just because I want to. I don't like Ezekiel. Up next, we got Austin Theory, or just Theory as he's known now, I guess, which is irritating, versus Mustafa Ali for the United States Championship. Clayton went with Theory, and I am too. I don't think he's losing this title for a while. This is his build up to him getting bigger before they eventually shove him down our throats, John Cena style, at some point. So, yeah, he's retaining. And then next, we have the six six-person mixed tag team match with Finn Balor and AJ Styles and Liv Morgan, so i.e. fake Bullet Club, versus the Judgment Day, which is Edge, Damian Priest, and Rhea Ripley. Billy Goat went with Judgment Day on this one, and I am as well, because obviously that group's getting pushed. I don't see Finn and AJ and Liv winning that, honestly. There is technically one more match, which is Madcap Moss versus Happy Corbin in a no-holds-barred match, but Clayton did not give a fuck about that one at all. He literally blacked it out when he sent me his picks, so honestly, I don't give a fuck either. I mean, if I had to say somebody, I'd say Corbin's probably winning this one, but I don't really care, and technically he didn't give me a vote, so it doesn't matter anyway. All right, well, that's it. So we'll see how good we were at this, which, I don't know, this is a little bit easier. See if our numbers change and one of us actually pulls into the lead. All right, I guess that's fucking it then. Peace.
All right, so as you heard, we're only different on two matches, one being the Raw Women's Championship and the other being Lashley versus Omos. Fortunately, those are the very first two fights. Sorry, I did it again. Very first two matches that are on the card. So, match one, Bianca Belair versus Asuka versus Becky Lynch. Mix went with Bianca Belair. I went with Asuka simply because I refused to pick against Asuka. The match was fine. Everyone did their thing. It was a fun match to watch. Sometimes I didn't think Bianca was going to win. Like I said, I just refused to pick against Asuka. So that's a point for Big Mix. And no point for me. Like I said, all in all, fine match. The card I'm probably going to only give like a three stars out of. Nothing special. Matches were okay, but very highly predictable. In match two is Bobby Lashley versus Omos and MVP. I picked Lashley. He picked Omos and MVP. I just figured that they're going to start to push Lashley a little bit more, maybe get him back into the main event picture, so let's have him beat up a giant. It was what it is. It's a good bathroom break match. It wasn't anything special. Didn't really care about it, but I did get the win there with Bobby Lashley, so one each. Then it's Kevin Owens versus Ezekiel. We both picked Kevin Owens because I refuse to pick Kevin Owens. Refuse to pick against Kevin Owens, especially versus Ezekiel / Elias, whatever the fuck his name is. So that's two each for us. That match was okay, I guess. It wasn't anything major. So the triple threat, I'm going to give 3.25. Lashley, I'll give 2. Kevin Owens, I'll give 2.5. Judgment Day, Edge, Damian Priest versus Rhea Ripley versus AJ Styles, Finn Balor, and Liv Morgan. I'll give that one probably a 3.5. When I was originally doing my picks, I figured that somebody was going to Judgment Day was going to add a member. It wouldn't shock me if one of those members were from the other side. I didn't know it was going to take all the way up until Raw for it to happen. But Judgment Day got the win. And then on Raw, they brought in Finn Balor. And then they all turned on Edge, which was a fucking huge shock. That was probably the most amazing thing of the week, I think. That was better than the actual pay-per-view itself. But that match, like I said, I'll give like a 3.5. We both got that one as well. So that is 3 for each of us. We did not do picks for Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin simply because I did not give a fuck about it. Obviously, needed the big mix. I could have taken an easy fucking point, but he decided not to. I just didn't like it. I don't want to put up anything for that. So I said nothing. Neither did he. Madcap Moss did win. It was more entertaining than I thought it was going to be, but still, I don't give a fuck. So I'm not even going to rate it. Doesn't even get a rating from me. Then we have Theory versus Mustafa Ali. Full well knew that Theory was going to win, but I figured at least we get a cool match out of the deal. We got a decent match out of the deal, but like I said, nothing that wasn't too expected. I'm going to give it a 3, just for the fuck of it. And then Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins in the Hell in a Cell. We both picked Cody.
So, is that what we're doing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We will pick Cody. That match was good. It was fine. It was kind of hard watching Cody walk, run around in the ring with the huge fucking target on himself. But I thought it was good. A lot of heart from Cody. I'll give that match probably a 4, maybe 4.25, just based on the heart of Cody. And Seth did a good job of not fucking making it worse. So that match was cool. We now have somebody you didn't do predictions for, and that was In Your House. I only watched a very little bit of In Your House. We'll start with the family versus League of Phantoms. Losing team joins the winning team stable. The match was fine. I'm just not as super happy with the result, mainly because I do not like Tony Mamaluke and his crew. But congratulations to them for winning. And now getting Santos Escobar, Joaquin Wilde, and Cruz del Toro. Toxic Attraction retaining their titles versus Katana, Chance, and Caden Carter. I didn't really care. I guess the match was fine. So, whatever. I guess I didn't really do picks for it anyway, so I don't care. I only watched about half of it. This is the last match I watched. Carmelo Hayes versus Cameron Grimes. It's cool to see my boy Carmelo win. So I'm going to give that match only 3.5 stars, and that will carry the rest of the card, I think. I don't give a fuck about the rest of the card, but I'll keep naming shit through it. Mandy Rose retained over Wendy Chu. The Creed Brothers defeated Pretty Deadly to win the NXT Tag Team Championship. And Braun Breaker retained over Joe Gacy. Again, didn't really care about the rest of that at all, but that is what happened. So Hell in a Cell, like I said, I'll give about a 3-2. Most of that's because of Cody. Wasn't bad matches. It was just very highly predictable. And then NXT, I guess I'll give a 2.5-2 because I didn't watch all of it, but Carmelo did regain the North American Championship. All right, so that's that for that. I'm gonna let King talk for a little bit. He's going to do his Hell in a Cell thing, followed by Mick Foley special shout out. And then I will do some rest of the Wrestling Week stuff. We'll talk about some a little more about Edge. Like I said, it was cool as fuck. Probably won't talk anymore about it. But CM Punk and that title situation. And we'll also talk about Cody a little bit. All right, I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. I am the king of old school. This is the Monday Night Rant, and you're listening to Mystery Wrestling Theater 420. I know I've been saying this a lot lately because I want to try to extend the brand. So try to go out there and follow us on Facebook and like us on Twitter or vice versa, because I screwed that up. And if you're at all possible, I'd love to see how many people are actually listening to this. So if you do actually like the actual link to the podcast or comment on it or something, just saying, hey, I listened to you. You suck. Fuck you. Something. Anyway. Let's talk about the wondrous Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Can you sense the sarcasm? Because that comment was kind of dripping with it. That there was nothing appealing to this pay-per-view enough that would have made me spend money on it had this been, an old school kind of a deal, like back in the 90s, early 2000s, when you spent $50, $60 on a pay-per-view event. This would have been like a what the fuck are you thinking deal. There's only two titles that were defended, and there's no reason why only two titles were defended. There's only one actual Hell in a Cell match at a pay-per-view that's called Hell in a Cell. there's no reason for that either. I mean, you could have, just off the top of my head, and I know, I'm pretty sure that there's an injury involved, but you could have done a Hell in a Cell match between the Usos and RK-Bro to end that feud once and for all. That way you have the tag titles are defended, and you have a second Hell in a Cell match. And I think that would have been, that would have been an entertaining match, but I don't know. Whoever is in was in charge of booking this pay-per-view really needs to, you know, be fucking bitch-slapped or something. I don't know. The only match that actually piqued my curiosity going into it was the 6-person intergender match. Wasn't a bad match from what I've seen of it. I have to admit, I watched it, the recaps on 3 different websites because I refused to click the actual event so I could be tallied into it. And look, we had all these people watch it. No, I refused to even make an attempt at that one. Like with the other pay-per-views, I'll at least click on it and fast forward to what I want to see. This one, I was like, no, I'm not giving him the satisfaction. I'm not being, you know, one of those. I'm not being a mark. So, yeah, but that match wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't bad. The bit with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, I mean, it wasn't, again, that wasn't a bad match. It was okay. But what stood out more to that match was Cody Rhodes going through the injury and just the big ass bruise on his shoulder and chest, and that just looked painful. And I there's no way in hell that could be, you know, done up makeup or anything like that. That's legit. That just, you can see the blood pooling. It looks painful. I mean, I'm looking at the picture now, at a still now of it. It just, I can't imagine even trying to move my arm when it looks like that, let alone competing in anything the way, especially the way that he did. I mean, raises the respect level for Cody Rhodes a little bit. Still not a huge fan, but it does raise the respect level on that. I have to give him that. That he definitely earned a lot of respect for me on that. Still, again, not a fan, but you got respect, which is sometimes a little bit better. Kind of in that Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera realm. For me, not totally, but you're getting there. There's a couple other matches that I wanted to talk about. First off, the United States Championship match. For anybody that doesn't know, Mustafa Ali requested his release a few weeks back, maybe a month or so now, and he was flat out told no, which is shocking because of the way that they're releasing wrestlers left, right, and center. But they told him no because they have plans for him. They told him, be patient, we have plans. We got something brewing for you. And then I thought that he was going to end up taking the belt. When I saw this, I thought he was going to end up taking the belt off of Theory and it was going to build up a feud. No. So that leads me to question, what the fuck are they going to do with Mustafa Ali? Or are they just being dickheads at this stage in the game? I mean, no, we're not going to release you because you want it. We're going to wait until you get over and you get the fans liking you. Then we're going to release you. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But maybe there is something brewing for him coming up. But right now, it just doesn't make any sense. Brings me to the other match I wanted to talk about, the Battle of the Happy Little Assholes. This match I really didn't give a shit about. I didn't even know it existed until Saturday. Because up until Saturday, I was questioning if this was just a Raw event. Because I didn't see anything from SmackDown. And then I don't know what made me look at the thing. I think I would check the rundown to see, you know, what I wanted to watch, what I wanted to talk about for this. And I was like, oh, well, there is a SmackDown match. And this SmackDown match could have gone into the Hell in a Cell too, but oh well. On paper, really didn't give a shit about it. I watched the recap of this. I watched a recap of all the matches. But I watched the recap of this, and I do have to say that I was impressed by Madcap's use of the chair. You know, I thought that was interesting. I thought, you know, I have to admit, I'm starting to come around on him a little bit more. He's already done to, you know, a portion of what I said I'd like to see out of him. He's starting, you know, he is starting to actual wrestle and have a little aggression to him, which is what I said I wanted. One of the things I said I wanted to see out of him that would, and he got rid of the Mork and Mindy look, which is another thing I said I wanted to see. Only thing left is to get rid of the fucking Madcap and go back to Riddick. Or if you're gonna do Madcap, I don't even know. I mean, I don't know how the hell you would make that work and get a serious push out of it. But if you had told me a couple months ago, leading into, you know, a WrestleMania weekend, that I'd be telling you that I'm starting to come around on Madcap Moss in ring, I would have fucking hit you. Because I hated him and Corbin that much. But now, after watching his feud with Corbin, and, you know, a couple of other matches that he's had, I'm not going to say I like him. I'm not going to say that. But I'm starting to come around. I'm starting to see that maybe that it was the gimmick the whole time that I just didn't like. Because I've watched old matches of Riddick Moss or whatever the fuck his name was. And he wasn't bad. So here's hoping that, you know, they don't blow this and they do something with it. Or, you know, I don't even know. Maybe I just didn't like him because he was paired off with Baron Corbin, and I just hate Baron Corbin that much. While we're talking about Baron Corbin and people I hate, let's go into the douchebag of the week. My douchebag of the week this week is Ryback. Wow, it just keeps bouncing back and forth, doesn't it, between Vince McMahon and Ryback and Ric Flair and all them. It just seems like they just can't get away from it. But Ryback, after CM Punk announced that he was injured, Ryback apparently tweeted something to the aspect of, I didn't actually see the tweet, so I can't tell you what it says, but it was something to the idea of karma's a bitch or something like that. Pretty much saying, good, you're hurt, fuck you. Which means that he still holds animosity towards CM Punk for him not winning the championship way back in, what was it, 10 almost, 10 years ago, if not over. I think it was, what, 2011? When the Shield debuted? It's like, you knew you weren't walking away with the title that day. And with your attitude and all of that, you killed it for yourself. You have no one to blame but yourself for where you are right now. What the fuck is your issue? It's like, I don't even know. I don't have anything really to complain it to compare it to. It's almost like he's an entitled teenager at this point. Like, you should give this to me because I'm there. That should be my participation trophy. I mean, that's the only thing I can even begin to compare it to. But yeah, and then I guess later on in the night, he posted a poll asking the fans what should I do next with my career? Should I go to AEW? Should I go to WWE? Should I go to TNA? Should I go overseas? Should I retire? Apparently, fans voted overwhelmingly that he should retire and pretty much go to hell. And to the point where he edited the poll results, took the retirement right off of the poll, and used what was left to say that he should try to go back to WWE or go to AEW to resurge his career. And when people called him out on that and the initial tweet about the karma and CM Punk, he started blocking people and started, you know, reporting them to Twitter and started complaining about them. And I guess he was like just being a complete and utter asshole on Twitter, just yelling. He's being an internet tough guy, you know. I don't know, dude. I don't think you're old enough yet, but you're not even screaming at the wall. You're typing at the wall at this point. You need to go. Just go. You know, I can't even begin to express how much I do not like you. And you're just for your attitude alone. And I can't think of very many other people other wrestlers that I do not like more than you. Like, I don't like Baron Corbin because I think he's boring in the ring. But he does have some redeeming qualities to him. I like his finisher. He does have a possibility. He needs something. You, on the other hand, in the ring, you were okay. You were like another version of Goldberg. You desperately needed a voice piece, and you got that. And you still couldn't do anything with it. So what's that say about you? They gave you every opportunity, and you squandered everything. Dude, you suck. Let's move on from Ryback hate to go the polar opposite. Give a little love out to Dude Love, Mankind, Cactus Jack, Mick Foley on his birthday. Happy birthday, Mick. Have to give you props. You are one of my favorites. I'd definitely put you in my top 10. Maybe top 5. Not sure. But definitely top 10. I know you're there. But, you know, you're one of the more entertaining guys, both in and out of the ring. You are in one of my you definitely are in the my favorite Hell in a Cell match against The Undertaker. You've gone through that cell and off that cell more times than anybody. You pretty much rate them against, you know, the the damage, was it an Undertaker, Mankind, Hell in a Cell match, or was it, a piece of shit Hell in a Cell match? That's pretty much how you've been ranking them lately, or at least how I do, compared everything to that match. When it's in the cell, at least. I mean, with everything that you've done, the books, the tours, I mean, just been one hell of a performer, one hell of a storyteller, and just put your body on the line almost every time you went out there. I mean, you had your fucking ear torn off by Vader, you were blown up, you're set on fire, thrown off the cage, thrown through the cage, you dove off the regular steel cage, and what, three-time WWE champion. I think you had the TNA title at one point, at least once. I'm not sure if it was the actual title or the Legends title, but still, you're in the inaugural hardcore champion, multiple-time tag champion, only person to appear in the Royal Rumble multiple times as all three of your faces of Foley. So, yeah, I mean, you're definitely up there, and I think I would love to see more of him in a WWE capacity, or even if he goes to AEW, and does shit there, and, put him on the broadcast booth or something. But, yeah, he definitely would be definitely one of my favorites. So happy birthday, Mick. And wanted to end it on a high note, so throw some love out there for the dude. With that said, I am done talking to myself.
What's going on, y'all? It's your neighborhood bake shop here, MHSL Bake. And you are now rocking with the Mystery Wrestling Theater 420 podcast. Those are my guys over there. Make sure y'all tap in anytime they drop. You know what I mean? Good peoples, good topics, great puns. Yeah, man. Check them out. Mystery Wrestling Theater 420 podcast. Check them out because Bake said so. Money high, stress low. That's the motto. You listening to Save You in the background featuring my artist I93 Carry On. Make sure y'all check out the new music.
All right, so I'm back. I am going to agree with King and just call Ryback the douchebag of the week, day, month, whatever the fuck it is. Very deservingly so for him. He can just go there. On to Cody Rhodes. As you know, I had him pegged to win the Money in the Bank. Obviously, it's very doubtful that he'll be able to be in that match, let alone win. He didn't tease that he's going to be in it on Monday, but it doesn't look very promising for that. So now I gotta find a new Money in the Bank winner. I don't know who that's going to be yet. But I'll have that in the next coming weeks. It may change my plan a little bit, but somehow he's going to still be in a title match at WrestleMania probably next year. He's going to, I think he'll probably win the Rumble now just to put him in that Mania match. Let's talk a little bit about the CM Punk situation. As you know, he is also not relinquished, but they're going to crown an interim AEW championship in the meantime. It'll be a battle royal on Wednesday. The winner of that faces Jon Moxley. And then New Japan is also putting up a match with Tanahashi and Goto. The winner of that faces the winner of the battle royal Jon Moxley match at Forbidden Door for the interim AEW championship. I have no idea where that's going yet, and I doubt they're going to put on MJF because Warner is apparently mad at them. That all could still be a work. I guess we'll just wait to find that out. Anything's possible. So let's just say it's going to be John. I don't know why they wouldn't just throw it back on Hangman. Like, I don't know why Hangman's just out of the picture. Apparently it is Hangman versus Okada at Forbidden Door, but you can definitely change that shit around a little bit. Have Hangman be a champion a little bit longer. I don't know. But I guess that is what it is. And then Punk comes back and he faces the winner of that to, you know, how's it called? Combine the titles again. Probably at All Out or something. I don't really know. Yeah. I guess that would be it. Talked about Edge getting kicked out of Judgment Day. I don't really know what they're going to do with CM Punk situation. I guess it depends on who wins the Battle Royal. That's how I make my decision. But whoever wins the Battle Royal versus Jon Moxley is going to win at Forbidden Door, in my opinion. But they might do something weird. We'll see. And then with Cody being gone, I don't know what they're going to do with that either, except like I said, probably have him win Royal Rumble. We'll keep it short without Big Mix this week. We'll be back next week. I'll let Big Mix fucking do his rant on fucking Hell in a Cell if he wants, or do whatever else we want to do. But we'll just keep this episode kind of short, except for the King part. But that's pre-recorded or whatever, so that's on him. So anyway, until then, motherfucking deuces. As Big Mix would say, peace.